Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Good morning. I'm so excited today, Caregiver Nation, because I have Dr. Breanne Betcher with me today. Hi, Bree.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the studio. So you are assistant professor and you work in the neuropsychology department out at the Rocky Mountain Alzheimer's Disease Center with our good friend Huntington Potter. Mm-hmm. We've had Hunt on the show many, many times. Yes. I'm super excited to have you here.
Thank you.
Because today we're going to talk about things that my caregiver nation, my listeners, have a lot of questions about. What is a neurologist or a neuropsychologist versus a regular doctor? What's the difference between a normal aging and some type of cognitive impairment? Mm-hmm. We have a lot of discussions. I try to educate my listeners about that Alzheimer's is a type of dementia. We, on this show, have talked many times about Parkinson's disease, frontal temporal disease, mm-hmm. and all of that. So I'm super excited to have you here. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much. Very happy to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Good. So explain to the listeners, what is a neuropsychologist?
Yeah, so I think this question comes up a lot. So neuropsychologist, that's someone who gets a PhD in clinical psychology with a specialization in neuropsychology. And then taking that a step further, what that means is we're really interested in determining how changes in the brain affect your memory, thinking, language, all of those aspects, and we measure it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then how do you work with a neurologist?
Yeah, so we work very, very closely with neurologists. So a neurologist is a medical doctor.
All right.
And so the neurologist will often see the patient, do the full exam. They order MRIs, blood work, and I come in and do an assessment of the person's memory, thinking, language, and we look at those patterns together to see if they fit a specific diagnosis.
Okay, so let's switch gears just a little bit. How would the work of both the neuropsychologist and the neurologist working together impact the life of the patient that you're working with? How does that?
I think there's definitely an important back and forth there of each of us trying to think through what our hypotheses are, of what's going on, what's causing these memory problems. Mm-hmm. And so I add my piece in by doing an assessment. It's often pencil and paper kinds of tasks to see if they're having memory problems. And so it's really important, I think, in terms of determining what's the cause of it, but also educating about maybe what are things someone can do in their day-to-day life to help improve that, if possible.
Okay, so to help me understand a little bit then, so a neurologist is really looking at the pathology of the brain, the everything going on inside from a clinical standpoint. You're taking the information from their life, experiences and putting that together with the medical piece and coming up with a better diagnosis?
Yes. I think in addition to that, when a patient comes into a hospital, what I'm doing is sort of taking the brain for a test drive. So we sit down and we do actual tests of memory and language and thinking to see how they're doing on these specific tests.
Oh, yeah. All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that is taking... that's taking the mini mental status exam and putting it on massive steroids, essentially.
Yes. This is very true.
So when somebody asks me about the MMSE, I tell them really it's just a red flag indicator. Although the clinical work that went into developing it probably took years, even though it seems very simple to other people. Mm-hmm. But you're actually really taking all components of that person's life, mm-hmm. and putting it together to see if you can come up with something that seems a little bit more realistic,
mm-hmm. and
pragmatic,
person-specific, personalized to
right.
them. And so we're digging deeper into the things that they're worried about and actually assessing that in a hospital setting.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So my listeners don't know this, but I met you at a church in Wheat Ridge about 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
In March, when I held a fundraiser for the department you were coming to work in.
Yes.
And I think you had only been here like a month or something. Maybe.
I think it was pretty soon. Yeah, it just yes, soon after I moved here.
Yeah, so you were out in San Francisco. Yes. Is that Barry Miller's department?
Bruce Miller.
Bruce Miller. Yes. Bruce Miller's. Yes. And so he's brilliant.
Yes.
You're working on some great stuff out there.
Yeah.
Why'd you come to Colorado?
Yeah.
How did we get so lucky?
Well, I was very fortunate to get to work with Bruce Miller and UCSF for about 5 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the decision to come out here was both professional and personal. I really wanted an opportunity to help build an Alzheimer's center.
Right.
And if you look at this section of the country, the whole Rocky Mountain region, there has been kind of a dearth of resources dedicated towards Alzheimer's disease. And if you look at a map of where the Alzheimer's centers are in the country, they're really sequestered, I think, to coastal cities, big metropolitan cities. And so that was a big draw to me. I mean, I think the people of Colorado, the people of Rocky Mountain region deserve to have a phenomenal center.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because I remember in 2012 when we interviewed so many different physicians and researchers to come out here and build this unit, the Anschutz mm-hmm. Center. And it was not an easy decision to bring Huntington Potter here, 30 mm-hmm. years at Harvard and then mm-hmm. down in Florida. And we didn't have anything within a 5-state region.
Mm-hmm.
So, and look at it now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just 6 years later, mm-hmm. it's really grown.
Absolutely.
And you came in halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the changes you've seen since you arrived here? How has it grown?
Yeah. There's been tremendous growth. And I mean, on a very, very personal to me as a researcher, I feel like the information that we are collecting needs to be disseminated. People need to have access to this information. So in the past 3 years since I've been here, we have started building a cohort of older adults, some of whom are healthy, some of whom have Alzheimer's disease. We have over 100 people now in our study where we're following them year to year. And when I got here, that study hadn't started yet.
Wow.
And so that's been a huge change. We now have multiple studies where we're looking at the brain with MRI. We're doing PET scans where we get to look at Alzheimer's proteins in the brain. And that's all been in the past 3 years. So there's been a very dramatic shift. We've also brought on new faculty, and really exciting to see such a change over time.
Nice. So let's piece that together for a minute here. So Jonathan Woodcock brings him in through the clinic.
Mm-hmm.
He sees the patients. A neurobehavioral exam and a PET scan has to be done for Hunt's, Dr. Potter's study, the people that are in there. Are you doing that piece?
So in clinic, the patients get... Often we'll get an MRI, they'll often get blood work, there's several things. When they come to the study that I run, the observational study where we bring people in once a year, I handle that piece of getting a research level MRI. It's a little more fancy, sophisticated, you get a lot more detail in the PET scan and
right.
and some of the more detailed assessments there. Yeah.
Okay, wow. Yeah. So you have an intricate piece in all of this, which is really cool.
I feel really invested in it, and it's been really fun to work with the clinical team too and have that communication. And
right. Yeah. Well, I want to know when we come back from a break, let's talk about healthy aging versus cognitive issues. And let's give our listeners some really good ideas of what does that mean? I think there's a lot of confusion out mm-hmm. there. And I think we can set a few things straight today. So Brianne Betcher, I'm excited to have you here
Thank
today.
You. Thank you.
And we're going to take a break. We'll be right back and have a great conversation with Bree.
Making the decision to place your loved one in the care of others is one of the most difficult decisions you will ever have to make. If that someone special is in your life and is needing memory care, Bellevue Heights is the place to call home. Bellevue Heights, part of the JEA Senior Living family, is deeply committed to serving people living with Alzheimer's and other related dementias. Living with purpose and meaning is the best reward at Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Your loved one will live life to its fullest. Licensed nurses on staff 24 hours a day, compassionate caregivers, 3 well-balanced meals, and 3 healthy snacks are a few key elements of the JEA difference. We also offer fully furnished private and semi-private rooms, meaningful activities, and scheduled outings. Call Bellevue Heights at 303-690-0700 to learn more about the high standard of individualized care they can offer your loved one. Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center is located at 14500 East Bellevue Avenue in Aurora. Visit jeaseniorliving.com or call 303-690-0700 to schedule a tour. Come home to family. Come home to Bellevue Heights.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, we're back, and I have Dr. Breanne Betcher from the Rocky Mountain Alzheimer's Disease Center with me today. She works with our good friend Huntington Potter and the whole crew out there doing some amazing things with our friends with different types of dementia, but especially Alzheimer's, Lewy body. And my favorite that I always ask Dr. Potter about is the tau piece, because we found out my mom, this is why I added this in the questions, Bree, that may have thrown you for a little bit of a loop prior to the show, but my mom actually presented like she had Alzheimer's for about 23 years. We're in a study out of Washington University mm-hmm. with Dr. Alan Holtzman, mm-hmm. and they're following my family in a familial mm-hmm. study, about 200 of us. So several of my mom's family members have given their brains to science, including my mom, in which we found out she didn't have a single plaque or tangle, no beta amyloid at all. It was the tau. Her cause of death was hippocampal sclerosis. So that was why I asked you about that, sure. because I find it fascinating that different research labs across the country study different things. And I want to get into that a little bit later, but let's go to the aging process. Mm-hmm. What, tell my listeners, what is the difference really between just normal aging and any cognitive impairment?
Yeah, I think that's a huge question.
It's a loaded question.
Probably, it doesn't have a simple answer, I think. You know, I think when my research really focuses on what is normal aging, what predicts decline in cognition, your thinking, your memory. And we've learned a lot over the years. We've learned that people can have Alzheimer's disease proteins in the brain and not show any symptoms at all.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing. It's amazing. We call that resilience. So being resilient to having pathology in the brain. And so there are big questions about, is normal aging, does that mean that you don't have any pathology? Does it mean that you have it but can stave it off in some way? I think both of those questions are huge pieces to my own work. I'm a very big believer in we learn as much from people who have some decline in their thinking as we do from people who are doing really well. Because right. what we learn from those individuals are things about protection. Right. And what is, you know, what is successful? I don't like that term, successful aging, because of the flip side of it. But I right. think that's often thrown around. You know, what do we learn from people who are thriving, who are doing well, even in the face of developing pathology in their brain? And so to clearly define what's normal, what's, you know, what's the beginnings of cognitive decline is something we're still trying to wrap our heads around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I always want to tell people that having memory problems is not typical. And so if someone's having memory problems, it's really a flag to go talk with your physician about that.
Mm-hmm.
We've really changed our thinking in that historically, I think aging was thought of as a process where you decline inevitably. And that has changed dramatically. We don't think that at all anymore.
Right.
And we know that's not true. We
right.
know that it's heterogeneous. Some people do extremely well late into life. And so we want to make sure that anybody who's having memory problems that you speak up and you talk to a doctor about that, because that's not typical.
Right. And I like that you, it's the first time I've heard it actually too, about the resilience in the brain, sort of, can we fight this off? Can, mm-hmm. do we have a card we can play in that, mm-hmm. in that game? Because that's why I named it was Mayo Clinic that put out several years ago about living resiliently with mm-hmm. These types of diseases. And that's why I call my show Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz. Mm-hmm. So I cover all types of dementia, but I want people to overcome obstacles and adversity to find that positive outcome.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. But I did know that you could have that APOE4 gene, as an example,
mm-hmm.
and others, you know, and not develop the pathology. I mean, we've had Huntington on here before talking about this at length, but I didn't, I wasn't 100% sure that we had anything that we could possibly do with it. You know what I mean? I mean, I try to play games all the time. I because it runs in my family. Seven family members have had this, including my mom and her father and and others, some of my mom's siblings. My brother has FTD. And so we, you know, we try to do everything we can. I try to learn something new every day. I'm writing a book. I mean, you know, I'm always trying to move forward. And when people ask me, what is the difference between normal aging and cognitive impairment? Some of the examples I use, and I'd like to see if you have any others, is if you can't find your keys and you put them in a different place every day, get more organized and put them in the same place. You can, you know, that's an easy fix. If you look at your keys and you're not sure what their function is, that's a problem. Right? If you don't remember what you had for dinner last night, not a big deal. We're busy. We're on overload. But if you don't remember you had dinner last night, that might be a problem. You can get busy. You're not paying attention. You're not focusing. You miss the street that you should have turned on or seem to not be able to find what you're looking for in a neighborhood that should be familiar. Maybe you need to be more focused, or maybe that's a problem. So looking at those types of things, is that some of what you do?
Yes. So some of, you give great examples there. We always want to make sure, the phrase I use is I don't want to overly pathologize things that many of us experience. All of us experience those times where you can't find your keys, where you turn off on the wrong exit, you're distracted. I think the things that I look for are, is this a consistent problem that you're experiencing? So how consistent is it? You know, if you consistently have a hard time remembering what you did last week, or if someone brings up something and they mention that you're repeating things a lot, if this is a consistent issue, that raises more of a flag than if it's an isolated event, I would say, because all of us have that experience.
Well, let me give you one example I hear a lot of. I can't remember a person's name. Something's not coming to me, but it comes back to you relatively quickly.
Yeah, I think we
Where's
call
the
that,
line on that.
We call that word finding difficulties, where it may be right on the tip of your tongue. You can't quite get it. It's probably the most common issue that people report as we start to get older. I think, again, if it starts to feel like something consistent where, you know, more days than not, you're feeling like it's really hard to bring up words and names, then it might be a time to just check in with a doctor and make sure that there's nothing going on. It's always important to think about, is there something stressful going on in your life or other things that can impact it. But that word finding can absolutely be an early indicator, but it's more about how consistent it is.
Okay.
Does that make
so
sense?
Just out of curiosity, in your lab, are you working with just the beta amyloid? Are you working with the tau piece? What are you exploring that at all?
We are trying to explore multiple avenues. I think, you know, I always want to be really transparent with people that, you know, the Alzheimer's field has had a lot of failures of clinical trials that have focused on kind of one thing and one thing alone. And so we're really moving to a model of making sure that we're trying to comprehensively look at all aspects of it. So, for example, I do look at amyloid, but we are also looking at how your immune system might impact how you're presenting, whether or not you progress. So we look at markers in the blood. We look at some cells in the blood to see what factors they're releasing. We look at brain scans to see if they're really detailed changes that we can capture there. We try to do a bunch of different things and not just focus on one.
I love that. And even the approach with the families, the way that you're doing that out at University of Colorado Hospital, I find absolutely amazing. I'm really thrilled to tell you all that I have so much to ask Bree, and it's hard to get her here. So I really wanted to be able to ask her some questions. So this is going to be a two-part series. So we will air also next week. And then in the second segment, I'm also going to introduce you to Gretchen Lopez. We'll be right back.
Living and working with Alzheimer's and other dementias can often be challenging. Summit Resilience Training provides education utilizing non-medical approaches for those who work with our friends affected by dementia. Believing families still need one-on-one assistance, we provide classes which help them understand the diseases affecting their loved ones, offering strategies and techniques for success with activities of daily living and working with confusing behaviors. We offer in-home assessments to clarify symptoms of dementia diseases and help families work together to find moments of joy while living with memory loss and impairment. Education programs instilling person-centered care philosophies are offered for professional caregivers working in communities and homes, which can be customized for their staff. Training is also available for first responders, such as law enforcement, fire, and EMT personnel. We are passionate that people with dementias, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and others, are approached with compassion and understanding, and those who work with them have all the tools they need for success. Call us at Summit Resilience Training, 303-420-6988, to schedule a class or in-home assessment. Visit our website at summitresiliencetraining.com for more information.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
All right, we're having a great conversation here today with Dr. Breanne Betcher. And Breanne, I made a special note, to ask you about UCF. How do you say that?
UCSF, yeah. I know.
That's a mouthful, right? Yeah. Good old live radio, hey. the reason I did that was because in the time that we were on the break, I was talking to you about the fact that my mom presented as she had Alzheimer's for many, many years. And Bruce Miller and his group, even when you were there, they were making some major advancements. Mm-hmm. I want our FTD people to know we care about you, we love you, you are not alone. I've had 3 clients this week that University of Colorado Hospital sent to me that have FTD and they feel so alone. And I think it's just awesome that you actually came from that area. So if they ever need to ask you any questions here, you have a little bit of knowledge.
Of course. Yeah.
But so, talk about that for just a minute, would you?
Yeah. So I think UCSF has just done a phenomenal job at advancing the FTD research arena forward. I had a great opportunity when I was there and also here to see patients clinically who have frontal temporal dementia. And what you say really rings true, that people feel very alone in that. There's so much disproportionate attention placed on other diseases. And this is something that really can impact families in a dramatic way. It affects behavior. Yeah. It affects personality. It can affect language. And not typically memory early on, but there are some people who do. We've seen in families that have C9, which is one of the biggest risk factors for ALS and FTD, can sometimes present with unusual presentations. And there are other ones as well, too. So it's a very heterogeneous, but often presenting more with behavior and personality changes.
Right. And I think I alluded to you that my mom had the C9 ORF mutation.
Yes.
Nobody in my family has had ALS.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's no wonder we're having trouble with research outlining these biomarkers and really trying to look at the pathology of these diseases, because it's so confusing.
It is. And someone can have more than one pathology in the brain, which
makes
it challenging as well. And I think that area has shown us how many big advances are happening and are continuing to happen, because the discovery of C9 as one of the biggest risk factors only came within the last 10 years. So
I know. Mm-hmm. And I like to think that my mom, because we gave her brain to science, Dr. Holtzman told me that they actually, Columbia was the one that did her autopsy, that they saw that in her brain and have made some major advances 3 years after her death, which I love. We all want to be a part of that. We're trying to be part of the cure. We're trying to be part of all this going on. And, it means a lot to me to be associated with the Rocky Mountain Alzheimer's Disease Center, just because there's such a strong family connection for us.
Absolutely.
So just curious, what are you trying to answer with your research? What are some of the things that you personally are trying to what questions are you trying to really focus on at this moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think the things that drive me every day, the things I wake up and I'm excited about, are to better understand what predicts someone having decline in later life or in midlife even. What are those risk factors? How do we identify them before you even show symptoms, mm-hmm. so that we can develop therapies that will target those specific proteins? So what puts people at greatest risk? What protects people?
Right.
And in particular, I look a lot at vascular risk factors, so things involving your heart.
Right.
And also immune risk factors, so things involving your immune system.
Okay.
So those are the things that I get most excited about, because I think, you know, when I work in the clinic, when I work with patients, we still struggle to tell patients on a year-to-year basis, what is progression going to look like for you as an individual,
right?
And that personalized approach is something that's very important to me, that's important to the field, and we have to figure out what predicts that, you know, what predicts how old you're going to be if you develop something.
And, oh, that's awesome.
Right.
Man, I'd like to come out and have that test. Well, you know, I said earlier that we are going to have Breanne back for another half an hour for next week's show, because I just think this is a fascinating conversation. I love having you here. But I'm also a big proponent of making sure that my listeners out there in Caregiver Nation know when some really good things are going on. So I want to introduce Gretchen Lopez. I'm glad you're here, Gretchen.
Well, thank you, Jill.
And you're
wonderful to be here.
Thank you. You're with the Douglas County Seniors Council.
Correct.
And you have a cool event coming up.
Yes, we have a fascinating event coming up on May 2nd at the fairgrounds in Castle Rock on Wednesday. It's a Wednesday.
Okay.
And it starts with check-in at 8 a.m. It goes through 3:30. It's an all-day educational event.
Okay.
So we're having three dynamic keynote speakers. We're having Karen Brown from the Strategic Action Planning Group on Aging speak to
Great.
Give us a state-level overview of what's happening with senior issues here in Colorado.
Love it.
She's going to introduce Wade Buchanan, who's the newly appointed Colorado Senior Advisor on Aging to the governor.
Okay.
And he's going to talk about his role.
Okay.
Then we have nine exciting interactive sessions on a variety of topics. That would include the new Medicare card that Medicare beneficiaries are going to be getting over the next year or so, artificial intelligence and how that impacts our lives and how that can enhance the quality of our life for seniors.
Let's talk about that for a minute. You're going to have Ryan, the computer from DU, there.
We are. Our
Love
keynote
it.
Speaker over lunch is Dr. Mohammed Mahour, who's with the University of Denver. He's created Ryan, a companion robot for people who are challenged with the early stages of dementia.
Yes.
This is the most exciting thing, I think, for your listeners.
Absolutely. And we talked about that in the December show.
Yes.
Yeah, so go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, that's fine. So Dr. Mahour is going to talk about how he created her, what's his vision for her, and he's going to bring her to the event. And we have factored in some time so the attendees of the event can interact with her.
Okay.
And she's marvelous. Not only is she programmed to maybe remind me to take my meds or to have a good breakfast or make my bed, but she is also programmed to recognize facial expressions.
Right.
So she might recognize that I'm sad, and she might say to me, Gretchen, you look kind of sad. Is there something you'd like to talk about?
Right.
And we can have a conversation.
Oh, it's beautiful. Great technology. What other breakouts are you having?
We're also having someone talking about artificial intelligence from the Osher Life Long Learning Center.
Okay.
We have care mapping, which is an interactive tool for caregivers.
Nice.
To understand where there might be some gaps in their care that they can fill. We have personal safety. We have two officers from the sheriff's office coming and talking about personal safety, not only out in public, but also in your home.
Okay. And how do people register for this, and what's the cost?
The cost is $5, and that covers morning and afternoon refreshments, lunch, a guest bag, all the materials from the workshops, and door prizes at the end of the day.
Excellent. And how do they register?
Well, they can get on the county website, which is douglas.co.us, and look for the community senior adult events. We're on there. Or they can call 303-663-7681 and request a registration form. And we are urging people to pre-register because seating is limited and we're filling up fast and we don't want anybody to miss out on the opportunity.
Okay. Well, thank you for bringing that information. And if you leave that information, I'll say it again on Bree's show next week. Okay.
That'd be wonderful.
And we'll let people know and try to get you some folks there.
Thank you so very much.
So I hope you join us again next week as we talk and continue our conversation with Dr. Breanne Betcher from University's Colorado Hospital, the Rocky Mountain Alzheimer's Disease Center. And she's going to have a lot of good information to share. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Visit her website at summitresiliencetraining.com to learn more and join us next week as we learn more about dementia, Alzheimer's, and overcoming obstacles with a positive outcome. See you next time.